This is a HeadGum Original.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Spanish, as you know, is when you add a syllable to English. So, helloa, my name is Amira.
Uno, dos, tres, cuatro.
Wow.
Arriba.
Yes. Finally. It's like sort of, it harkens back to my Latin flair. A lot of people think I'm sort of a passionate Latin lover. Like I'm I exude this passionate Latin energy.
I don't know if you do. Who is that?
Really? That was me sort of being a Spanish sexy flamenco style. Mm-hmm. Like I often people, when I walk into a room, people are like, "Oh my God, who's that like sexy Latin lover?"
And then you say, "It is I." How do you introduce yourself when people think that you're a Latin lover?
I say, shalom, it is I, Shmuyermo.
Shmuel. How is it going?
Shlomo Yermo. Amigos. Donde estás?
Yo soy oi.
Donde está la falafel, si vous plaît? Shit.
Me gusta Hanukkah.
That entire theme song was written in Spanish. I don't speak Spanish.
Yes.
So I was hoping I did some translating. Do you know what any of that meant?
I heard Golden Mike. I heard.
Yeah, that was English.
Jake and Amir.
Jake E. Amir. Yeah, that was a good one. Yeah. So you took Spanish for how many years? Was it a decade of learning?
Seventh grade until. Seventh grade till.
Yeah. So five years of.
Yeah, seven.
Probably
a
few hours a week for nearly half a decade.
It was six years of Spanish.
6 years.
But to be fair, I actually got mostly C's. So I wouldn't be expected to remember anything.
So it goes, a Jake y Amir le gusta dar consejos. I can't even I never even took Spanish, so this is all just, I'm reading. And
Jake and
for
Amir
the best.
I like to go to concerts.
That was give advice, creen que son divertidos, pero son viejos. They think they're funny, but they are old.
Interesting. That's not what I was going to guess. But that's fair.
La lucha por el golden mic con gran espíritu.
La lucha is Amir loses the fighting. Loses the golden mic.
That's actually
week.
It stands for fighting. Okay. They fight for the golden mic with great spirit. And then bienvenidos al podcast. Se llama Si Yo Fuera Tú.
Okay, that's welcome to Miami. Buenvenida a Miami.
Welcome to the podcast. Right. It's called If I Were You. It rhymes.
Nice.
That one, now that we have it in We know what the words mean. I'll play it again at the end so people can appreciate it more. It's called Si Yo Fiera Tu, The Ballad of El Pincho and El Chipmunco, which I think means, like, the two funny guys.
We know what it means.
Fuck. if you could give a shout-out to some of the rad dudes that helped make it, Steve, Miller, G, Mackie, Nini, and, of course, Ghani.
Ghani?
Yeah, Ghani. Tell him what he's won. And maybe plug our new double LP coming out next year, which is Classic Kid and Baby Club, Babies Only. Wow, that's a lot of information, but you know what? He's earned it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, he definitely has. He wrote a song in another
thank
language.
Thank you. Giorgio, who wrote that. So, gracias, or actually, how do I say thank you? Or it's gracias, thank you.
That's, yeah, gracias. Gracias por todos.
Gracias. Yes, absolutely por todos. okay, this is If I Were You, a.k.a. Si Yo Fuera Tu. I am Amir, a.k.a. Johan, the Latin lover.
I hate that accent. I'm Jake, a.k.a. Jorge, which was my Spanish name, even though I guess it would have been like Jacob or something.
Yeah. Jorge is George, right?
Yeah, Jorge is George. We got to choose Spanish names, and I chose Jorge.
That's fun. Mm-hmm. That seems like the most fun part of Spanish class is choosing the names.
Right. Everybody gets their own name.
In Hebrew class, you just sort of use the Hebrew version of your name. Yaakov. And I couldn't even... Yeah, mine is just Amir. So I didn't even get that little minor thrill.
You didn't even get that. That sucks.
Actually, I ended up choosing a Spanish name in Hebrew class. So everyone had to call me... I don't know what's an example of a Spanish name that sounds like Amir.
Amos?
Amos, yeah, Amos. Okay, we got a bunch of questions that I wanted to just sort of power through so that we can get to the end of this episode and I can get to this Moscow Mule I have waiting for me in the kitchen.
That's fucking awesome, because it's fucking 10 a.m. your time. And
it's 10:30.
Fucking pound ginger beer.
That I need to like power through.
I really hope you have a copper mug. Because even though you're drinking in the morning, you have to do the Moscow Mule right. You have to honor it. You have to put it.
You're not worried that muscle. I'm having alcohol. You're.
And I hope you're using. You thick don't think cubes. It's a little early. I hope you froze thick cubes, because I don't want you using chip ice. I don't want you using that fridge ice dispenser. Not for a Moscow Mule. Not for that 10:30.
I think you're worried about. You're worried about the wrong thing. I think you should be a little concerned, right? Mm. You are concerned.
What do you mean? Is it a cry for help that you don't know how to make a Moscow Mule? I'm telling you, it's ginger beer, it's vodka, and it's served in a copper mug with ice. You could also, if you're,
I actually had a little bit of the Moscow Mule even before this recording. Wow. So I woke up and I had
that's
it.
Fucking savage.
Hair of the dog.
Yeah. Oh, that means you were drinking last night too. And you're drinking.
Are you
Moscow
worried
Mules?
About anything?
Yeah. it feels like you're. I guess you're doing it to get my attention, which I won't give you.
Okay. We had an interesting question which came up. Somebody wanted to know our thoughts on this TikTok thing that's happening right now. Are you familiar with Couch Guy?
No.
So Couch Guy is a TikTok. A video on TikTok that's sort of making the rounds. You know how things blow up like wildfire over there. So it's this video of a lady surprising her man at college.
Okay.
And when they walk in, the man is sort of sitting close to another lady. And he stands up and hugs his girlfriend in a specific fashion. Nothing is too overtly shady about the whole thing. But people picked up on it. And it became sort of this hotly debated thing whether the boyfriend was excited to see the female. And this guy said he wanted to get our counsel on the situation. I can send you the link or I can play it on my computer. He sent it to us. Are you near your phone?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll send you the link. And like, you know, people have been making parodies and people have been making dances and using the audio and poking fun in every way, shape, and form. But this is the origin. This is the first video, Couch Guy, which I think just came out like last week.
Does it need sound, do you think?
No.
Okay.
It's just, you can see what the deal is pretty quickly.
I'm going to watch it. This is my live reactions.
Okay. So what are you seeing right now?
She's walking in. She's got a backpack, roller bag. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. He's shy. Yeah. He's a little shy. That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. sitting kind of on a couch with some other ladies, maybe just friends, maybe a little bit more.
I mean, no. It doesn't seem like that to me.
It seems fine, right?
Yeah. I'm watching it again.
Yeah. Keep a real close eye on the distance between him and his couch mates, I think.
Like, you mean they're just really close to each other?
Yeah, just sitting really close on a couch. Mm-hmm. And then...
But the couch is... Like, when you said that, I was like... okay, so it's like him sitting just with a girl on a couch.
Yeah.
But there's four people on that couch. It's a full couch. There's not a ton of space for him to to be in, you know?
Yeah. So you're saying overall that doesn't raise any suspicions or alarm bells for you?
I think it doesn't... To me, on its face, it does not seem like it warrants an uproar or a public discussion, I think.
She's the one who posted it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she wasn't worried about it at all. I think it's the community of TikTokers that saw it and were like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Rewind the tape. Look how close they were
sitting. But you have to think that, like, this dude's friends, she was led in by his buddies, like people that had the key, people that, like... knew what was going on in there. If there was something untoward happening on that couch, I think someone would have been like, don't do that. Or like, you know, someone would have run interference. They would.
Yes.
No one planning a surprise like that is going to let it go so awry as you walk in and your boyfriend is like flirting with somebody.
Yeah. The surprise. That's a real dangerous game. The surprise at college.
Yeah. I've done that before. I've done the...
Surprise someone else or had somebody surprise you?
I think both. It's happened like when you're... I don't know. It seems like when it's like a young person's game. I did it to Jill when we first started dating, actually.
What'd you do?
I flew to New York to surprise her. But it was really just me being super needy. And it wasn't... I don't think it was like about her at the time. It's like, yeah, it'll be really nice. And plus, I need to see her.
Surprises are... There's a lot of stress around surprises. Like, you really got to, like, get a buy-in of, like, 30 people to lie to this person. Where it's like, I'm coming in. Help me plan it. I'm on the flight. I can't call, so you're going to have to do this. And I'm going to have to lie about this. And then I'm close, and where are you guys? It's just so much planning for this one grand reveal.
Right. It is. Oh, do you remember when I did a surprise party for me and Jill's engagement?
I think I told this story on the podcast.
But yeah, that was the last time I like planned a surprise thing, and I'll never do it again because it was so stressful.
It always involves somebody doing something insanely weird, which is like, don't go in there. I have to dance around with you in the street for a second. It's like, what the hell is going on?
Should we walk around the block again?
Why? Whoa, why is my cousin over there? Like, as you get closer to the surprise, shit starts unraveling fast and people start freaking out.
Yeah, and you start acting weird. Like, you're taking an elevator up to a room and you're like, I'm completely silent. I have nothing to say. Can't look at you.
I'm going to pause the elevator. Let's get off on the wrong floor. Don't look to the left or right. Your dad might be here.
But I think that, like, most of the time, I mean, you see a lot of things happen, like, in movies, and you hear about the ones that have gone really wrong. But I feel like for all of the friends to be involved, it must have been a healthier surprise. You know, it's not like, surprise, I showed up at your door, rang your doorbell, and you're, like, here, caught red-handed. It was, like, group effort. So I think this is all above board.
Okay. Thanks to David Hernandez for writing in. I'm glad. That's a good segment for us, is bringing TikTok trends, or at least me bringing them to you, because I'm on the talk and you're not.
Yeah, I like that.
We can weigh in on the big memes.
That's cool.
We got another question from a lady at school.
Oh, love it.
A school lady. So we'll call her Sarah Lawrence.
Oh, good work.
Because that's actually the name of the college I was... rightfully rejected from.
Yeah.
I had low grades and a nasty attitude, and I failed my interview.
Cover letter. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a 21-year-old college student, writes Sarah, in need of immediate assistance. My roommate has a cat, and she is away for the weekend, and it just barfed on the kitchen floor. Wow. I am the only roommate out of 5 home right now, so I feel like I'm obligated to clean it. My roommate, who is temporarily in charge of the cat, is at work for 4 hours. I'm hungover, and I don't want to deal with this shit. Also, I didn't really want pets in our house to begin with because of the situation like this. So, let me know if I'm a dick if I don't clean it. Thanks. Also, shout out to my friend Morgan and her brother Bryce, who put me onto your podcast in 8th grade. Okay, so that sort of ruined her anonymity a little bit.
Got it.
And then she included a pic of, it looks like sort of, yeah, wet oatmeal on a linoleum floor. Oh. It looks like somebody spilled oatmeal on a cafeteria floor.
Share your screen.
Yeah. Actually, I can just, share my screen.
I don't want it to be on my phone.
No, of course not.
This is why the podcast, it belongs in a visual medium. Twice now, we've watched, that's not bad, okay?
It looks like spilled oatmeal on a, cafeteria floor.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to live in this place. It looks kind of like those floors are uncomfortable and cold, but that's sort of neither here nor there. Right. I don't want to walk barefoot at this kitchen / living room.
Okay,
area.
Stop sharing your screen, please. I'm going to be sick. Okay.
Okay.
Here's the question. She said the roommate who the cat belongs to is gone for how long?
The weekend.
Yeah. I mean, that's it right there. You can't have that on the floor for the weekend. It will smell.
Well, she says that the roommate in charge of the cat now is at work for the next 4 hours.
Oh, wait. I thought the cat's... I see. So the...
It's like, I'm out of town for the weekend. You're in charge, lady. And she's like, okay, I'm in charge, but I'm going to work. So whoever's in third in command is going to have to get in on this.
But this... I think that, like, she's hungover. She's not going to leave the house. Usually when I see something like that, I would deal with it versus not.
Yeah. Or you cannot deal with it, and then it'll just be on the ground. And then... somebody else would deal with it in 4 hours. You can play dumb if you're hungover.
Right. If you think that you'll throw up if you start cleaning it. But I mean, I could see not, like, maybe the threshold for me is if it was a tougher clean. That's linoleum. It's pretty thick. There's not going to be a lot of run. I think you can get that with like a glob of paper towels and then spray something, second scrub, and you're probably going to be good. If it were on a carpet, I would maybe feel different. I'm not going to like blot it up, get the resolve, let it sit.
Like, yeah, that's, the stain,
that's not going to be on me. But sweeping it up off the linoleum, I think you might as well.
That's actually a hard move too, because it's like hardwood floor in the middle of an island. So it's like, where am I scooping it to? Like, it's hard to lift something off a hardwood floor.
You kind of like a thing of paper towels into almost like a glove. That's chunky enough that you can pick most of it up.
Yeah, and then the rest of it, you got to spray sponge.
Wipe. Yeah, spray wipe. I don't think you need to sponge. If you want to just like, I want to get this off the floor, but I'm not gonna like give the floor a scrub. You could like text the cat owner and be like, the cat threw up. I cleaned it up, but you're probably gonna want to get a little deeper.
Yeah. What people really need is some sort of like vomit vacuum, like a tube that just sucks everything up.
That's a shop vac, buddy. That's a shop vac.
A shop vac? Does it pick up liquid off floors and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. Picks up anything.
Oh my God. This is a beast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this also used for general use, or is it just specifically wet stains and stuff like that?
I think that the thing with the shop vac is that it's like a big heavy duty vacuum cleaner. It's like it could
do it all.
Like dust, little pieces of debris, liquids.
Yeah. Okay, so that's sort of unsolicited advice, is get a shop vac for your puke pickups. That'll make it real easy.
That was how I used to clean my loft in Brooklyn. I would sweep everything into a corner, and then I just had a shop vac and I would vacuum it up because I had no carpets in that place because I lived like a little splinter cell.
Okay, so should she do it if she's hungover?
If it's on linoleum, I say go for it. You'll feel better. You won't smell it every time you walk into the kitchen. I could see living in like a two bedroom apartment with a central kitchen, and the interior has cat puke on it. You'll smell that throughout the day, and four hours is a long time to smell that.
Not worth it. Not worth the wait.
Not to me.
Okay, let's take a break, come back, answer some more questions on the other side of these messages.
Hey, yo.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional-looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's they have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional-looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like,
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's it's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Anti-movement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't. But so it's more fitnessnah.com. Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back. The unsolicited advice, if you missed it, was to get a shop vac to sort of scoop up stains, specifically cat vomit in the middle of a hard floor.
Boom.
Another question from another female. This one's 3 years older than the last, so they're sort of aging up with regards to status and question and advice seeking.
I like that. All right, cool.
So this 24-year-old graduated from college, and she's living by herself in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque.
So we'll call her Alba. Jessica Alba. I'm a 24-year-old female living in Albuquerque, and I've been seeing this guy from Tinder for the past few months. He's really sweet, funny, and easy to get along with. He says he's never been beaten at Mario Kart, but I smoke him every time. Score. The only trouble is, he's not that great in bed. He doesn't like to take charge, and he gets tired really easily. I'm no freak, but I never feel satisfied without some help from toys or finishing up the job myself. I've tried to coach him on what I like, but it seems like he gets in his own head trying to satisfy me that I'm afraid he's starting to feel bad every time we have sex. I like him a lot as a person, but is this grounds for termination? Am I being a shallow diva roach for cutting him off because the sex isn't good enough? Have you ever broken up with someone when everything is great but the sex was lacking? Do I accept the trade-off of an unsatisfying sex life for a great connection? Or should I cut this guy off if there's no improvement? Help!
How long has she been seeing him?
Few months.
All right. I think sex is important. I don't think I've ever broken up with someone because it wasn't good, but I think that it's stopped me from pursuing something more serious. You know what I mean? Like, but she's already kind of like gotten far enough along that she realizes she likes this person.
Yeah.
Sex is not there. I think there's a couple options. Option one, wait and see. It's only been a couple months. If he is in his head, maybe he just needs a little bit more time to gain the confidence. So if you can wait, that's an option. Option number two, the doing the job yourself and bringing toys in doesn't have to feel like a defeat. I think you can spice things up in the bedroom that way. Your guy could use the toys on you, you know? You don't have to be energized to hold a vibrator. He can be tired and do that. So...
This is you talking to them.
He says,
come on.
He's all, how fucking sleepy are you, dude? You can't hold this little fucking egg?
So, actually, you could pass that. I'll put it in your hand.
But I think there's hot stuff you can do in bed if you embrace the, like, you know, the mutual masturbation aspect of it. It doesn't have to just be like... penetrative sex is the only way that you guys are going to have good sex. You know, have different foreplay. You can get creative.
In a basketball analogy, it's like there's some skills you just naturally have and some you can teach, where it's like, this guy's got the intangible, the motor, the heart. He can jump out of the gym.
He's good at Mario Kart.
Yeah. We just have to teach him to shoot. Like, there's some stuff you can teach, which is like, you know, how to become a better passer. And then there's some stuff that you just either have it or you don't. Mm-hmm. I think if you're going to choose like one of these things, like being a nice, normal guy who's fun to play Mario Kart with, is hard. You can't teach that. That's, you either got it or you don't by age 24 or whatever. I think the sex stuff is knowledgeable, learnable, pedagogical, whatever you want to call it, didactic. You can like actually study, learn, and become better. And usually that comes with chemistry as well.
Yeah. But the guy has to be willing to learn to shoot.
Like, yes, he needs to be an apt pupil.
Right.
And if very he doesn't good. Want
to, if he's too tired, if he's like not into, I mean, getting into your head is one thing, but being like, I don't feel like doing that, I'm too tired or whatever, that's, I think that's grounds for termination. So not being great at sex after a few months, not necessarily grounds for termination. Not being willing to try, that's grounds for termination. Not saying that that's what this guy's attitude is right now, but that's just where the logical next step goes for me.
Got it. Okay. What is this deadass generational language barrier email that you sent?
He's got a question, I guess, about new slangs and terminology.
Okay, let's see if we know any of this.
You're on TikTok, and you know we're in our late 30s.
This is good to see if we know what the hell that some of this stuff means. Okay, let's see.
I know what most of it was.
Okay, great. As a mid 20s man, I'm losing my grasp on slang these days. Writes Webster. Keep in mind, I'm American. English is my first language, and my governor is Gavin Newsom, so I'm not in North Dakota or Rhode Island, per se. A few I can think of. Sussy. Baka. Y'all, but when non-Southerners use it. Grifter. Gaslighting. Doomer. Okay, let's just see if we know these ones. Are these real words that just found new popularity, like gaslighting and grifting? It'd be so simple if we had dank, sick, fuego, baller, YOLO, bae. So yeah, I don't know what any of these means, and they sound cringy whenever I hear them. Is it worth trying to learn this new stuff? What are your thoughts on this new lingua franca?
Yeah.
Okay, so sussy. Do you know what sussy means?
I just would imagine that it means like suspect. Or
yeah. I've seen sus, like sus, like, yeah, it's suspicious almost.
Right.
Baka?
No fucking idea.
Y'all, I assume, is you all, just right. Like when Southerners use it. Grifter? I didn't know that was a slang. As far as I know, it's like a thief or a con artist. Right.
And it might just be a word that's gaining popularity again. Like,
right.
Grifter is just, it's the same thing as it always was. Like, maybe, but I don't know.
Gaslighting is, that's a one that's gained popularity recently.
Yeah, that one I know.
That's like when you're accusing someone of something in a way that they don't, they feel like they're just have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it's like any time that you make someone feel crazy, because you can do it a lot of different ways, even without accusing somebody. Like, I feel like sometimes you can like ask someone about something like, oh, that's the first I heard of it. But it's like, you, I've been talking to you about this for a month or whatever. And that's,
yeah,
that's gaslighting too.
I feel like that's that has its origins in an old movie, and I forget what the origin is. Mm. It's either called gaslighting or they use that term, and now people are bringing it back. Doomer. Is that like a boomer that's full of doom and gloom, like a pessimistic boomer perhaps?
Or is that what we call boomers now because they kind of fucked the world so hard that it's going to end?
That's pretty good. There's also Zoomers, which are people who use Zoom, so they're younger than boomers, I think.
Yeah, I don't even understand, because literally everyone used Zoom. So,
did Zoomers start because of boomers, or are they just the name of a generation unrelated? Generation Z. Zoomer is an informal term of Generation Z. It combines the word boomer, referring to... Jeez. Whoa, there's a full Wikipedia page of it.
Wow, on Zoomer.
Yeah.
What about on Zaka? So
it combines the word boomer, referring to baby boomers, with the Z from Generation Z. So Zoomers has nothing to do with Zoom, the app we all use. It has to do with just a Generation Z boomer.
Okay.
I'm trying to find... It's people who were born in the mid to late 90s as starting birth years, and the early 2010s as ending birth years.
Got it. Yeah, that's Generation Z.
Yeah, it's like people who are 10 to 25 years old right now.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sheesh, of course. Sheesh. I've been using that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Bet, which is like...
You use bet.
Yeah, I use bet a lot. I went from ironically using bet to just using bet.
I think
it's like basically saying fine or okay or good. Yeah, yeah, bet.
I think I want to start using bet because I still use word, which is not, which doesn't feel right now.
It's the same. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Word became bet.
I say word a lot, too much. Over text, not in person.
Chud? Do you know what that is?
No fucking clue.
Should we look up what it means?
Yeah.
Chud.
Should look up all of these. I want to know what baka is.
A gross or unappealing person.
That's a chud.
I guess so.
That's good. That's a good one. I like that.
Poggers.
Poggers.
I think that's when you go crazy, like you jump up and down. I wonder if it's related to pogs.
Mm. Yeah, it was. That was my first instinct, but then it's like we had no person coming up with Gen Z slang knows pogs, right?
Yeah,
that's just.
You want to explain pogs to anybody who was born after 1990?
They were these tiny little cardboard discs.
Milk caps, in a way.
And it was a game where you would play the pogs face down. You had something called a slammer, which was like a metal disc. You would throw it at the cardboard ones, and any of the ones that flipped over on the right side, those were yours to take off the table. And you keep on playing, and whoever had the most pogs at the end won.
Did you ever have... I never personally played. It was all over the place, but I never got into it.
Yeah, I was super into it. I was big into it. We had a little like game store in our neighborhood, and me and my friends would go after school and like buy pogs. I remember they had like this fucking amazing metal slammer that was like $13, and I was like, I'll never be able to get that.
Matt, did you have a case for your pogs that looked like a Ritz sleeve?
Big blue tube for my pogs.
Oh God! Can you imagine if like your children are like, "Well, you spend $100 on this tube of cardboard. I'm playing a game someone invented 4 hours ago."
Me and my friends would like play for keeps sometimes, and then like, but then we end up losing pogs that we like, and we'd just cry until the parents divided them all back.
The stakes were too great.
Yeah.
Have you seen Squid Game?
Yes, I'm not all of it. 3 episodes in.
So I've only seen one episode myself, but the game that they play at the train station where they're trying to like hit an envelope to flip another envelope.
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah.
It's very Pogs chic.
Did you like the pilot?
I did.
Yeah.
I did like the pilot. Poggers means just excited. So,
all right, got it.
And then Liddy, which I think means lit or awesome.
Right.
That's kind of fun. Yeah, if something is Liddy, it's hot, it's fire, it's actually intense and fun. And frankly, now that I know these words, they're all over. So yeah. I certainly hope that we'll start hearing new ones
they're
soon.
Officially out of fuego.
Bet. Absolutely bet for that.
You can bet on that. When two chuds know these fucking, know baka, yeah, it's all over.
When two doomers.
Okay, we have to find out what these slangs mean. All right.
Which ones?
I want to know what doomer is. A person, usually a millennial or a Gen Z in male, who has experienced apparent hardship. Oh, so it's just kind of like a sad person?
Yeah, that's not too exciting.
Okay, what's baka? Let's see. A Japanese word whose primary meaning is fool, idiot, moron, stupid person.
Baka, B-A-K-A?
Yeah. I've missed Herb. That was my favorite.
Yeah. I mean, every one of these is just a newer version of something we used to say.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm just going to spend more time on Urban Dictionary and try to get some of these before they pop, you know?
Although you can't, I feel like I can't skip that step. I can't be the first one to say bet. Like, I have to hear it on Slack for a while and from other mm-hmm. people. And then it's like, now it's my turn to say lit. Now mm-hmm. it's my turn to say these things are fire. Now it's my turn to say poggers.
What about the phrase, not here to fuck spiders?
That's a full phrase?
It's Australian slang. The term is derived from and is another way of saying, not here to fuck around. I am here to get the job done. Stop wasting time.
Jesus.
It can also be used as a declaration that a person has arrived at a place of work or sporting team with a set of goals. I love that.
Okay. Let's take another break, come back, and learn some more words on the other side of these massages.
Yes.
Bet. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Box. Yeah, Bark Box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes. And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most of it yours. Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, mm-hmm. You can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Rocket Money.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
And we're back.
Hey, hey.
All right, we dead ass have one more question. That's right.
Bet.
Dead ass. That's another word I've sort of been toying with. It means nothing, so you sort of just add it into sentences.
Right. It's kind of like just adding fucking. It's arguably better because
it's kind of how literally means figuratively now.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
That's an annoying.
It literally
one
means everything.
Yeah, I use it all. I say literally all the time. I say it literally all the time.
Nice. Yeah. You're dead ass always saying
it
literally.
I use it too much. It's a crutch.
Okay, let's move on up from a 21-year-old question to a 24-year-old female question to a 25-year-old girl who just moved in with two of her best friends.
Moving on up.
Moving on up. Okay, it's been 2 months now, and I've moved in with two of my best friends, and now that I have learned one of them, let's call her Susan, has a very strange method of forcing herself to get up in the morning. Mm. She sets her alarm in an entirely different room of the house from her and her fiancé's bedroom. It took me a while to realize what the hell was happening. I would often be woken up super early in the morning to an unidentifiable beeping noise in the house. Then about a minute later, I'd hear Susan getting up and turning it off. In my sleep-addled state, I thought there was just some machine or something that would malfunction or freak out regularly in the morning, and it got to the point where I was feeling bad that Susan was always going up to turn it off, but whenever it would wake me up, it would always take me a long time to fall back asleep, and it would disrupt my entire sleep pattern and make work that day pretty hellish. But then one morning, 2 weeks ago, notably the morning I was about to embark on a four-hour solo road trip and really needed my sleep, the beeping went off, and my roommate didn't go turn it off. A couple minutes went by, and it was still beeping, so I finally dragged my ass out of bed to check what was happening, and lo and behold, it was an alarm clock screaming at everyone from the living room. It took me a second to understand what I was seeing, and another second to understand why I was seeing it, but I finally realized she set it up out here so that she'd be forced to get out of bed to turn it off.
Yeah.
So frustrated, I shut it off, then sent Susan an annoying text letting her know that her alarm had gone off, and I tried to fall back asleep to no avail. It's now been 2 weeks, and it's still been going off almost every morning at 6 a.m. I've tried talking to her about it, and she says, sorry, it's the only way we can wake up. Whoa. And won't engage further. Is this a normal thing to do? Am I overreacting, and how do I get her to stop doing this? Thank you, love. Sleeping? Meg Ryan, Sleepless in Seattle.
Nice. That's tough because you talked about it. You basically did what I would advise you to do, and she's not meeting you halfway.
I would be much more mad than this lady is. She's like, should I do anything? Like, interrupting sleep is basically roommate cancer. It's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, like, you really like your sleep. You don't even you don't set an alarm because you're like,
I'm alarmless. Mm-hmm. I've established an alarmless artist's lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So yeah. I cannot be woken up earlier than my body allows. And especially at 6 a.m, are you joking me? It ruins the entire day/week. It throws everything off.
Yeah, like there's a reason this alarm is so effective for Susan, but it's not fair because not everybody wants to get up at the same time as Susan. You're not allowed to have a public alarm.
That's not how it works. No way. Especially in the living room so that it wakes other people up. That's fucking absurd.
Yeah. I mean, if it's just a clock, I'd steal it. I would just take it.
Yeah, you cannot do that. That's a non-starter. And it seems like she moved in with two best friends. What's the other one going through? Maybe she's a heavy sleeper, doesn't notice, doesn't care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's nice that there's another roommate and... It could theoretically, you know, be a tiebreaker. You could talk to the roommate and be like, hey, will you tell Susan that this can't stand? I wouldn't turn it into a public forum in case that roommate is like, whatever, I sleep through it. So, you know, you can't have two against one for a thing where you're obviously in the right. So, you know, do the legwork ahead of time.
Also, she sleeps in the same room as the fiance. Like, now she has, like, this other guy in the room who's also getting woken up, potentially. Is he also in on this plan? This whole thing sounds very hairy.
Yeah. Wait, I didn't... So, it's Meg Ryan's fiance and her? Or I thought it was Susan and Susan's fiance.
Yeah, Susan and Susan's fiance.
Okay. And maybe Susan's fiance loves it because the alarm's not in the room. So, he you know, it's also... I mean, if she missed it one day, it's not perfectly effective. So it's like, if she's like, it's the only way I can get up, it's like, well, actually, it's not, because I turned it off the other day, right?
Yeah.
So it seems
also, it'll wake you up if it's closer to you, too. Like, that's how alarms work. If you can get really close, then it'll also wake you up.
But
you're just snoozing.
It's all about getting out of bed. It's really all about getting out of bed. But there are other, like, she could get the kind, oh no, that would be even worse. Have you ever seen that alarm clock that, like, blows up and you have to put it back together to turn it off?
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah, no, that's not.
Or an alarm clock that, like, gets chased around the room, like, on wheels. What a terrible way to wake up. It's the opposite. Alarm clock should, like, soothe you in, like, slowly getting light, slowly getting louder. For it to, like, go, and then, like, scamper around the room like a skittish cat.
Yeah. I mean, I use an alarm, and I don't love it, but I like waking up early. I don't like...
When do you set your alarm for?
I set always before 8, depending on when I'm going to bed. But like usually generally 7:30, if I feel like I'm getting a late night, then I do 7:45.
Wow. Way to treat yourself.
That extra 15 goes a long way.
And then how many nights of the last 10 nights, how many of them have the alarm woke you up and how many have you woken up naturally before the alarm?
I think usually, even if I wake up naturally before the alarm, I'll like hang out in bed until the alarm goes off, even if I don't go back to bed or if I shut my eyes for another 5 minutes or whatever.
Yeah,
I like the alarm to tell me that, like, this is when previous you decided that we should get up, so let's do it.
It's also hard with somebody else in your bed, like they wake up, like it's such a personal thing, your wake up time.
It is interesting. I'm like, Jill's alarm will go off and it doesn't affect me. If I hear that it's her, she has a much more soothing alarm than I do.
Do you fall asleep at the same time, or are you guys on different schedule?
We go to bed at the same time because I am a weird little puppy. And I'll like, even if I'm not tired, if I'm trying to convince her to watch another episode of TV and she's like, you can watch it, I'm going to go to sleep. I'll be like, no, I'll go to sleep. I don't want to stay up alone. I'd hate that.
It's scary in here.
Yeah. But sometimes, and we generally go to sleep at the same time. Sometimes I'll stay up a little later reading, cause I'm reading Dune right now and it's pretty good.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. So you're just like reading and you're like, I can't put this book down. I'm simply devouring it.
Yeah.
While you are what? Sleeping? Yeah. I guess I find myself a little bit more of a curious book. This is you talking to her while she's snoring. My unsolicited advice, try to wake up naturally. And my other unsolicited advice, or actually solicited, is break this Susan's alarm clock. That's insane.
Yeah.
She's ruining your life.
It's not allowed. What she's doing can't stand.
It's untenable. It's unsustainable. Sleep is everything.
It's uncouth and it's uncool. Dead ass.
Dead ass. Not okay. All right, cool. Thank you for writing in. Your questions, your theme songs, send them all down to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. The theme song from the beginning was so good it deserves another play. So thank you to Giorgio for sending that in.
And now we gave you the translation so you can enjoy it extra.
See. And we're also making new Jake and Amir episodes on our YouTube. That's jakeandamir.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we're watching classic episodes of Jake and Amir on our Patreon at patreon.com/JA.
Correct.
There's always more of us if you need it. Mm-hmm. So like, don't say... oh, this was too short. Like, I need more. It's like, okay, go to fucking jakeandamir.com then. Like, don't get mad at us. Like, because now I'm starting to get pissed off about it.
No one said it to this specific episode. I mean, I'm sure someone will, but...
Yeah. No, I'm saying,
getting mad already.
I like getting mad, basically. Like, I often sort of crave/seek a reason to get pissed off, scared, coy. And
there's the mule. Look at that. He's drinking the Moscow Mule.
God. It's got to be 11:16 a.m. somewhere. Actually, in a way, because I am the first person to drink after the show, that's low-key, dead-ass Golden Mike behavior. But I'll let you...
God, man. That was a turdy for fucking that sentence. Low-key, dead-ass Golden Mike behavior. Fuck off with that. That stung me to hear.
I guess we both don't get it today, then.
We'll see.
I guess we both don't get it today. Well, the episode's about to end. There's no we'll see. It's now or never, and you didn't get one. No, not we'll see. It's over. I guess we'll see.
You're gonna end the episode. It's the episode's not over because you haven't thanked.
I did it all.
No, you didn't say where people. You didn't say where people could.
Yes,
get,
I did.
You didn't say
if people I could. Should at Gmail.
You didn't say that.
I absolutely said.
I don't think you said that.
Questions, theme song,
you
email address.
You're saying it now. And I feel like you not knowing how to host the show and me telling you how to bring it to a close.
It's not even true. This isn't, you're making
shit
up.
That's a golden mic for my ass.
You're gaslighting me. You're finally doing it. You're completing your final form.
Dead ass,
you're a real chud for that.
Gaslighting.
Okay, we'll see you all next week. Bye, everybody. Wait. HeadGum Live. You can buy tickets to see us in person, actually.
Whoa.
We'll be at the HeadGum Live podcast. There's four podcasts. Two of them are sold out, but the HeadGum podcast is still, I think there's like 50 or so tickets available, so you can get those at HeadGum.com/live. New York City, October 22nd. See you soon. Bye.
Do it.
Uno, dos.
Was a HeadGum original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news, we're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Hmm? Okay, I will. It's
can you do that?
So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.